Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Well, hello, everyone. This is StarCast, also known as Natalie. I guess I should just say Natalie because everybody knows. And we're here to do part two of understanding of working with, you know, dealing with toxic or questionable energy and family dynamics. And we all know how difficult that can be. And last week, of course, I told about my childhood and all of that. And I have the lovely Maya Moon with me tonight. How are you, Maya?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you, Natalie. It's great to be here as always.
Yeah, we're going to continue on with our discussion, and hopefully I won't take up the whole hour talking like I usually do. But Maya just lets me rant and – no, I don't rant and rave. She just lets me talk. But we really have a great time. If you listen to us, you can tell we love each other very much, and we roll with everything, and we have a lot of fun, and we want you to listen in. You can listen to past episodes. You just go to the site. They're all – click on the icon down at the bottom left for Blog Talk Radio, and it opens up a panel, and you can connect with every radio program that we did, and we've done a lot of them. I think it's going to be – I don't know how many years on Valentine's Day, Maya. Maybe three, four. I don't know, 3 years, I think, right? Is it 3 years? Yeah. Maybe, I don't know, it could be four. But anyways, Maya's been with me the whole way, and we've enjoyed this. And really, what this does when we do this, normally it's on a Monday night, tonight it's Tuesday night only, it leaves me in a great mood, uplifted, spiritually high, because it's really good. It's good stuff that we talk about. And Maya, how do you want to start this episode off tonight?
Well, let's see. First of all, I want to thank everyone for being here, and I know we're all getting close to the holidays, and thank everyone for having me and for listening, and it's my wish. I know not everyone celebrates Christmas. Many people celebrate Hanukkah, and there's a lot of other holidays, and I love the old Seinfeld show where the dad says he doesn't want to call it Hanukkah or Christmas. He just wants to call it a festivus for the rest of us.
That's cute. I don't think I ever heard that. I like that.
Yeah, I love that. We always say that around home. It's kind of a inside joke. So for many people, this month is a very stressful month, and you know, it's easy, I think, to say sometimes when we're talking about dealing with toxic and questionable energies, you know, I don't know how many people are aware, but did you know that December is the highest month for suicide?
I think I've heard that before, and I can see why. I mean, it just seems like there's a lot of pressure during this time.
Well,
pressure to shop,
right.
Pressure to make sure you get the right gift, pressure, pressure, pressure. My girlfriend and I, one of my girlfriends, and we're getting together all tomorrow. We're going to have a lot of fun. But one of them, we decided we will not exchange our gifts till after Christmas because it's just too much. See her, the one next door I can see. And she was perfectly fine with it. She said, that's an awesome idea. So sometimes if you do that, it's better. It takes the pressure off of you. I mean, I know where I want to go to get her something, but I'm running out of time. Really, if I was going to see her tomorrow, I wouldn't have it in time, and that's really why I said it to her. So, yeah, I think it's great. And why do people do that to themselves, Maya? Why do they Why don't they do that when birthdays come? It's always Christmas, maybe because they have to purchase a lot or they think they do, or I don't know.
I actually think we feel the pressure for some people. Like for us, this month just happens to be financially a tough month. Now, you know, we have a litter we're expecting, so we're going to do the same thing. But one of the reasons, I mean, I'm coming from the psychological standpoint, but that I'm also adding the spiritual part in it. And for many people, where the suicide comes in is not even so much the financial end of it, but there's so many people that their families and relatives, and maybe it's not even all of them, but some of them place so much pressure that they have to attend, and people just are not, you know, if everyone could just sit down and say, let's just talk this through, well, no, but we wouldn't have all those problems. But in dysfunctional families, and especially when we're, you know, we're spiritual beings, when we're placed under pressure, and I see this with my clients, you know, that have a very difficult time, their parents or brothers and sisters, you know, they may have just a couple family members that they don't get along with, but the pressure is, it's Christmas, you have to come, or it's Hanukkah. I mean, we don't have to name, because we all celebrate maybe a different holiday, but for most of us, December is a time, just as Thanksgiving is, it's just a little more difficult because there's added stress, like you said. So what happens is, you know, if it was a normal, if I had a family and I had problems, you know, let's say I didn't have a great childhood or whatever, and they said, hey, we're having a barbecue, you know, I could make an excuse. I could say, oh, gosh, you know, I'm sick, or, you know, my little girl Cindy, I don't have a little girl Cindy, I'm just making that up. But, you know, it would be easy to get out of it. What happens at Christmas time is there's all this pressure that we have to attend. And I really, I am a big believer, and I really hope to be able to teach at some point, which I've done locally here. I've taught empowerment, which is one of my favorite things to teach, is empowerment, that we have to empower ourselves, and that we are not, you know, we do not have to attend. And if the price of going to a family, you know, they'll say, well, then my mom won't talk to me and my dad won't talk to me, or my brother will get mad at me. And so what I would say back to them is, well, obviously there's already some very sensitive issues going on that your family's been unable to navigate. And so you have to put yourself first. So that's why a lot of people, what happens is they get backed into a corner. And they're forced. I mean, there's things that are just people that grew up in families where there was just a lot of fighting and chaos. But then let me tell you, there's a lot of very deep traumatic stuff, child abuse. You know, there's families out there where one or more of the children grew up and was, you know, sexually violated by a relative. And the way the family handles it is, okay, well, we're not going to talk about it. These are just all examples. So don't think that these aren't real people. So they say the family doesn't talk about it and then just says, well, you know, we told Uncle Ed not to do that anymore. Well, I mean, first of all, psychologically, the secret is always worse than the deed. And spiritually, what that does to us spiritually, I don't even think I can articulate into words. And so the person becomes, it's like not only are they reliving that, but they're having to face these people who, first of all, perhaps the perpetrator, then they're having to face, abandoned them, didn't stand up for them, didn't protect them, and sometimes they were blamed for it. I mean, it's as if these families expect and put all this pressure. And a lot of people, too, are under the assumption, well, if something terrible happened to you, why do you even have a relationship? As human beings, And I see, I always say I learn so much from my dogs. My animals teach me so much. And even when there is, you know, there's a rift or there's a problem, for many people, they lost their power and their spiritual identity or their spiritual, you know, I've written about spiritual power and empowerment, and they've lost that. And so they just don't have that spiritual strength, that spiritual warrior inside of us to stand up. So if they didn't stand up all the other years at the holidays, it's even harder. And it's to me, it's I just feel it like it's this terrible crushing against my chest because I feel the pain. And they get literally so so upset, and their spirit is so crushed, and they're emotionally just so boxed and cornered in, and they feel there's no escape. They're afraid to walk out from the family that's never even been there for them anyway. So they put themselves right back into, I mean, when I say at risk, I don't mean at risk to be, you know, molested or hurt again, because there might be adults now, but at that emotional risk. I mean, there's just, or, you know, the family favorites or people that fight or memories, you know, families that grew up and there was a lot of addiction and maybe they're sober now, but they never dealt with all that problem. And they're not realizing that these kids that are now adults, when they come back home, they're not thinking, oh, remember when we went sledding down the hill? Remember when we went to the beach? They're saying, remember when you beat the crap out of mom? We had to call the police almost every weekend.
Yep.
I mean, you know, so what it does is because they feel they've lost their power and they feel there's no way out. And how sad, Natalie, how terribly, terribly sad is it that they feel their only choice is to take their own life.
Oh, I know. I know. And, you know, they don't think about all the people around them, what that action that they've taken is doing to them and leaving them with. You know, I haven't never had anybody in my lifetime take their life, but I've heard some, and, you know, and I just shake my head and I just say, why didn't you go to somebody? Why didn't you just call somebody, anybody? I need help. I'm right at the edge. I'm ready to jump off this cliff. And, you know, for me, and I can say this with experience, you know, because I lost my husband and what I went through with him, and then the after effects of it, just, you know, 4.5 years now, and I'm finally coming out of that dark tunnel or well, as I used to call it. There were times when I was with him, it got to be too unbearable. I mean, it was really... Right. But I thought of my son. I mean, I would never have done anything. And we talked about this later on. And, you know, he said, well, Mom, you would never do that. I said, no, I would call you. And I would say, Louis, I'm in trouble. I need you here now. Or I would go get Diane next door. I would never do that to my son, never. And I know it can be really crushing, Maya. It the walls are caving in on them. They don't see any light. But you have to believe, it goes back to what I always say, you have to believe. First of all, you have to ask for help, no matter who it is. You might not even know the person. Somebody walking down the street, can you help me? You know, maybe they're going to walk by, and if they do, shame on them. But, yeah, that's the worst thing in the world. I don't even like to hear it. It's horrible, you know. It's a horrible thing. And I feel for them, and I wish they would listen to the show and realize it's those you leave behind that are going to be tortured. They're going to always wonder why. Why did you do that? And they're not ever going to have an answer. It's not fair.
No, and I will tell you, and I have written, I don't know it, you know, if the blog is accessible for people that want to go back, but I had written.
Oh, yeah, it is. You can go back all the way. Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay, I had written. And I don't mean this in any way to toot my own horn. I'm just, for people that are dealing with this, of course, there's hotlines, but they may want to read that spiritually I will tell you that I consider it a curse, not a curse like, you know, for $500 I'll get rid of the curse. But that family, that the suicide is a legacy and a curse, and you will almost always find, it's very rare to find a true suicide. Now, I'm eliminating accidental overdoses or risk-taking behaviors where somebody is, they know they're risking something. I'm talking about straight out, flat out, I'm taking my own life, you know. That is a legacy that you will almost always find runs through the family, and that's what you are leaving when you do that. So for, we've talked about the challenges you had growing up in that, but the difference with you too, Natalie, and not to make light at all of the, you know, how lonely it was and hard for you, but you've always had spiritual protection and guidance. And we have to take a step back and realize that the average person out there doesn't have that higher connection that you have. So they don't know how to, you know, to navigate in their spiritual self. Does that make sense?
Exactly.
So they're,
yeah, it does. And, you know, when you were talking about get-togethers and stuff, now if you think about me, my mother would always have the parties, the Christmas parties at our house, because she was the oldest and her sister didn't live that far. And I didn't feel anything. I mean, I ate the food. My cousins were over or whatever. And I just thought that we were all together for dinner. I mean, it wasn't Christmas, because you've got to remember what my Christmases were like, what they turned out to be, that I don't recall anything. And I really had a high connection, and I didn't realize it. I tell my son all the time, and he looks at me and he says, "Yeah, but Mom, you turned out really good." He says, "So whoever helped you, whatever helped you, I'm really glad that you're my mom," he says. So,
yeah,
and you're right about that. Some people just do not have that, and I don't think it had anything to do with having to go to church every morning when we went to high school so we could get a ride. I don't think it had anything to do with that. Not a thing. Because I would kneel in church and I'd say to myself, well, isn't God everywhere? Why do we have to come here? I would think that. And I was,
right.
And of course, you know, there was something to it. But yeah, my situation is much different. But yeah, that's what they leave behind when they do out and out stuff. Like you said, not overdose, because that's like a mistake, because you don't know what you've done and it's too late. Sometimes you take something and then you take something else and you don't even remember. That's a mistake. That was not supposed to happen for you. So, yeah, it's a tough time. And I'm going to be interested in seeing the people that are, you know, in the stores and everything tomorrow. I have not been out. Although, you know, I'm an empath and I really don't like to be around that stuff, but I've got two big girlfriends going. So they'll be my buffer. I'm always in between them. So all I have to do is look ahead, or I can look at them, and we always end up laughing and having a good time. But I really, people rush in the stores, and they want to spend a dollar amount. They kind of just sit back and just, you know what I do? I make my granddaughter make a list. Now that she's older. Oh, but it gets more expensive when they get older. You should see her list. Graham, I want a car. No, she didn't say that. She's only 12. But, you know, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. We really do. I used to do that also when I first got married. My son was young, and we had to go here, and we had to go there. And, oh, I get exhausted because it was just so much. And then you think you're not doing enough, and you get the feeling that you aren't. And, yeah, it's really tough. This is a good time to have this topic, though, Maya. You know that.
Well, I know, and I want to say to people that, you know, that right now are really struggling, you know, if you're struggling with your family and to you it is like a death sentence to have to, you know, go to an event, like with you, you were already more or less, and again, I'm not making light at all of how severe.
I was already in the situation. It didn't mean anything. It didn't matter one way or another to me.
I mean, you were numb by that point. It was the expected behavior. But for people that, you know, where there's been a lot of abuse or yelling, or people that grew up and nothing they did was good enough and they were yelled and screamed at, or there was, of course, working in this business, you know, we hear so much from people. You know, what you have to do, I know that it's really hard for people under that pressure to attend, but you have to pull, you don't have to be religious, but you have to be spiritual, and you have to meditate, whatever, reach out. If you are religious, that's even better, because reach out to your clergy, whatever religion you may be, get support from them. If you have friends or coworkers, or what I've suggested to people is if the thought of being alone is a fearful thought, too, emotionally or spiritually fearful, then find a way to volunteer or do something good for other people. But you should never put yourself at risk. Once we're an adult, when we're children, we don't have a lot of choice. But when we're an adult, we have to take a stand, and it's okay to do that. It's okay, and no matter what's going to come after, I can promise everyone this. If you take a spiritual stand in yourself and you become a spiritual warrior and you empower yourself and say, I'm not going to play along like, you know, we're the Brady Bunch or whatever, you know, metaphor you want to use. I'm not going to put myself through the chaos, the anxiety provoking. I know people that literally have told me they literally are on their way to a family, you know, member's home to celebrate, and they literally have to pull over the car and vomit. They're so stressed.
Stressed out about it. They do. Yeah, exactly. It's something that they really don't want to do.
You don't go. I mean, you have to find a way to break that. You have to call upon. I mean, all of us are equal in this fact that we have guardian angels. We have access to divine. Whatever you call that, your source, creator, universe, goddess, God, we all have access to that universal energy and that power, and we all have the ability to draw on our own personal empowerment. And I can tell you, I have never had a client ever, and I've been doing this for 35 years, come to me and say, I regret empowering myself. Never. But I've had so many come and say, I shouldn't have gone. And there's people that will attend these functions, whatever the actual holiday or get-together is being called, they'll attend those functions. And then their life is in disarray for a month or more after, because all it does is bring up bad memories, disturbances. I mean, it's just really... I mean, it really is sad.
And jealousy also. You can add jealousy to that, because you see, you go to somebody's home and the man, the wife and the husband are there, and she shows you all these pretty things that she got from her husband, you know, diamonds and doodads and all that. And you can sit down and say to yourself, well, there must be something wrong going on with me, because I didn't get any of that. But what you have to do is just remember, they must have needed it. You did not. I learned that a long time ago. But I'm not a material person. I'm not. I'd rather give it to somebody else. I get more satisfaction and more a good feeling inside than showing. And those people show off a lot of times. They just show off, but you have to get over that. You just have to say, well, they just needed to have that in their life. I don't happen to need it. I have this, and this is what I needed. And I encountered that many times, many, many, many times, because I had relatives that would be lavished with all kinds of things, and they would be in bigger homes and all that. And I was just in this, you know, my husband was just a teacher. I mean, sure, I worked, but we were not rolling in the money. And I would go there, and I just would say, gee, this is a beautiful home, beautiful stuff. And that was it. I let it go. I learned to do that a long time ago, probably as a little girl. you know, because I had to see people having great times in their family, and I didn't have that. So I just okay, I blanked it. That's it. It was gone, and I didn't. It never gave me a problem again. So that's something that you have to understand about being jealous of somebody, and that can be, you know, bad, not good energy. It's not good. It's just not good. You gotta stop it. And it's got to do, yes, with being grateful. But when I was little, I don't even know that I knew what grateful was. Not like I know today. But like I said, we have both said my childhood was different than from everybody else. So I can only tell you what happened to me and how I dealt with it.
Yeah.
But
right.
For the normal childhood, I mean, even little, you know, I didn't get a doll like I wanted. Well, I didn't throw dolls around and break my little friend's dolls because she had the one that I wanted. I didn't even pay any attention. And that's the truth. I had all of that kind of energy taken from me, that anger, that jealous, that all of that. I didn't experience that as a little girl either. So when you don't have that, you don't grow up with it. So I don't care what kind of car you're driving. I want one day to have an Audi. That's my favorite car. Well, doesn't mean that I'm going to say your car is ugly and you shouldn't have this car because I don't have one. Oh, no, just take me for a ride. That's cool. You know, you have to, you know, I was just very, very lucky. I was blessed. It wasn't luck. It was blessing. It was a blessing. That's what it was. It wasn't luck. It had nothing to do with luck for me at all. And I didn't realize that until we talked a few weeks ago, Maya, and I have to thank you for that because I realize why I am the way I am.
Right.
And sometimes, sometimes you have to look back, way back, to see what you experienced in your life. But, yeah, did you have a lot of disruption in your family, Maya, as you were growing up, where you had to attend all these family things and, oh, God, you didn't really want to, but you went or whatever?
Well, I did. I mean, I had my biological father was a Baptist minister, and he was killed in a car accident when I was 8 and a half. So from the time I was born, now, he didn't start out as a minister. He was called into ministry. He was the finance manager, like a regional manager for Ford for their big farm equipment, the heavy farm equipment. And so he did traveling, and then he got the call, and so he went into the ministry. And so that was all good. So I lived around my paternal grandparents who I was close to my whole life as long as they were living. But, you know, my mom was a young mother. They were married, and she got married, I think, at 17, and she had me when she was 19 or 20, and she had two children, my brother and I, 22 months apart. But my father had not been passed, and they were married I was 8 and a half. When he passed. So they were married about 10 years, I guess. And about within 7 months of him being dead, she ran into an old flame who was the total opposite. He was a party, life of the party, and he lived in downtown Chicago, and I was living in the country of Kentucky, okay? And she moved us. My grandparents, of course, they would not have caused a rift, but they were just heartbroken. And so here we were, Southern accent, two little kids, our whole life disrupted. We just lost our father, and we were moved right downtown Chicago, Damon and Devon Avenue, which is not a bad side of Chicago. But I don't want anyone to take this as a politically incorrect statement, but you have to understand that we were very, you know, all of our families had farms. We were very Southern. I had a very strong, I know I don't have my accent anymore, of course. I have a Chicago accent, actually. But we had Southern accents. Everything was different. Girls wore dresses, and we moved into, it was about 98% Jewish community. So they not only did, and they're, they, you know, every culture is different. Well, we had never been introduced to that culture, or that, you know, we didn't have that experience. And so we were made fun of, we were teased. We went from living in a country house on property right by my grandparents' farm, where, you know, they had a huge garden, and they had, I mean, they at that point, they weren't like dairy farmers at that point, but they had a big enough garden that they could, you know, we used to do roadside. They'd sell their extra vegetables and help them pick stuff and so on. So I went from that life to living in a fourth floor apartment. And I mean, it was horrible. And he had never had children, had never been around children. And so it was pretty traumatic. And then from that point, it was just a constant, I don't know if I've ever said this, but up until high school, I attended the same high school. I went to 24 different schools from the time my father died up until high school. So I would go to a school, we'd go for about 3 months, and then we'd move.
Oh, wow.
So I had a very chaotic life, and I think, like we talked with you, I didn't understand what this peace that I had inside me, or this ability to overcome things. In fact, a family member, I probably shouldn't say too much personal stuff, but one of them ended up in a psychiatric hospital for almost 2 years because they were unable to deal with the changes. And, you know, when you lose a parent like that, I mean, I understand a lot more now. My mom was a young widow. She didn't drive. She'd never written a check. He did all that for her. So as an adult now, I can understand that she was just trying to do the best that she could do. But for us, it was just devastating. We were taken away from all of our family, and it just was not. So, yeah, it was chaotic. So it was very difficult for many years for me. Now I live in Arkansas. My family's back in California. I don't go back anymore. But for years, and she married somebody else. She divorced and married several times after that. So it was just a constant disruption. And I always felt that it was I know I've talked to other people that have feel this for different reasons, that, you know, the family was just a total chaotic mess. But during the holiday seasons, now we celebrated, of course, Christmas and then Thanksgiving, we were supposed to act like we were this, you know, regardless of who she was with or who she was married to at the time, he was supposed to be, you know, quote unquote, daddy. And we were supposed to act like we were this perfect little happy family. And I was not an easy child because I just refused. I just would not play the game. I mean, I wouldn't throw fits or, you know, anything like that. But as I got older, then everyone came to my house. It was under my roof and my control, and things were a lot different. But I would say I had an extremely chaotic, very, very chaotic life, filled with a lot of, unjust things that were done that, I've forgiven all that and I've moved past it. But I will say this, that's why I'm saying to people that you have to empower yourself. When I was younger, I still felt that I had to attend these or hold them. I would hold them at my house, but I still felt that I had to go along with the, you know, Brady Bunch thing. And then I got to a point and I just said, I'm not doing this anymore. This is not how our life was. It was that way when my biological father was alive, but I can barely remember what that was like anymore. And this person is not my father, and I don't mean it in a rude way. She was never with anyone long enough for me to form a bond, and as soon as I would, she'd be off to the next one. So you get to a point where you're not gonna form a bond, and you're not gonna when she says, "I want you to call him Daddy," I'm like, "Hell no." Excuse my language, but I mean that's how I would feel. So, you know, but I just had this. Now, I mean, I prayed to God. I looked to God. I had a lot of visions, and I had spiritual help, I believe, in a different way, probably not nearly to the extent that you had, because I had a pretty good left hook. So
I'm lucky and blessed at the same time that it didn't damage me. When I was a little girl, I can just barely remember, like, one girl, little girl, she lived down the street from me on the same side of the street, and we always went over to my friend's house across the street. Well, I can remember many times she'd walk right by my house and go across the street and go get our friend. And I would think to myself, well, what's wrong with me? Why? We didn't fight. She passed my house. And I, you know, I never said anything to her. Well, why do you do that? Her name is Carol. Why do you do that? Why do you go and pass? You don't want me to play. We would play dress up or dolls or whatever kids do at seven, you know, that age. And I never did. Now, that's kind of odd, don't you think? I really should have approached her and asked her, but that was not my nature.
No, because I was knowing you, Natalie, it's unfair for me to be unbiased because I just know your soul so well, you know, because, you know, we've known each other on such an intimate, and I mean platonic, of course, intimate level, but as friends.
Right,
or
of course, but very, very close friends, you know me well.
That I can see that that's not your style. I would be more the confrontational type, but that I've learned that that's not always a good way. It's much better sometimes, you know, to turn the other cheek. But I think a lot of these people that are under all this stress right now, if you can attend your family function and it's, you know, and it's difficult, but it's not going to be destructive, then by all means, get through it for your kids or your uncle or Papa Joe or whoever it is. Most of us have one or two family members that we do want to please and we do have a relationship with. But if the price that you're paying is equivalent to losing an arm, I mean, it's the price you're paying is too deep, then, I mean, you wouldn't go out and buy a $5 doll, $500. You should not ever feel that because you're related to someone, you have to pay that price. And the same is true at work. You know, there's a lot of people that they have, you know, at work, they have these parties and the parties get out of control. There's a lot of people that don't drink alcoholic beverages and are not comfortable being around people that start getting, you know, intoxicated and acting differently, and this one's kissing that one, and they just see all, and everybody's thinking about it. You know, I mean, and they feel like if they don't know, it can be counted against them. I mean, I do believe that you have a patience and a grace that perhaps I may have to a degree, but not to the degree that you do. But I also have a great strength about me where I'm more one to stand up. So I don't think that you were wrong. I can't say that you were. I feel that was your best choice because you had so little to start with, Natalie. Had you made a scene, you may have completely alienated those friendships that you had, and that would have been worse for you than what? Then not
right, because I would have been all by myself, yes, which I was by myself anyways. But, I would feel a little hurt. I can remember feeling hurt and kind of sad, thinking, well, did I do something wrong? And then I'd say, no, you didn't do anything wrong. You were just with them yesterday. It was just, and I don't recall if the one across the street I don't think we always went to, her name was Linda. We always went to Linda's. She didn't come. She would come get me, but she would never go past my house and go down to Carol's house and then come back and get me. I mean, and once Carol walked by my house, she never came back. She never came to get me at all. I was not included for that day. So what I did, it was, I don't know if it was instinctive, but there was a girl next door who was a few years older, and she was deaf. She could not, she did sign language and everything, but I learned how to talk to her that she could understand. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a certain way that I did it. And she wasn't an only child, but she was older. Like, she went to a special school. And she said to me in her own way, she said, nobody can really talk to me like you. She said, why? Wow. I said, I don't know. I said, maybe I said because I want to talk to you.
Yes,
but
right.
I said, I didn't talk to her like that. There was a way you had to talk to her so she would understand, and I picked up on it right away, and we were the best of friends, and I always had her around. Her parents were a little strange, I think, because they didn't know what to do with her because she was a girl. But she, what?
Were they deaf or they were not deaf?
No, they were not, and neither was her brother.
Okay.
And
okay,
So in a way, you know, maybe that was God's way of saying, well, it's okay, let them go by your house. You go next door over to Diane's.
Right.
And I got to be good friends, pretty good friends with her. Of course, she went to a different school, but summertime and vacations, we were always out. She always hung around me like kind of because she knew I could understand her. And it didn't matter that she couldn't talk like the rest of them to me. And I guess that's what it was, is that I figured out a way to talk to her so she could understand. Because
well,
she couldn't hear either.
That part of that was the spiritual
yes.
embrace that we received that was constant. But it was also you were given compassion. And, you know, we can look back and say that maybe this was a lesson, maybe this was some type of retribution, karma, however you want to look at it, or maybe it was just the cards you got dealt. I mean, I believe sometimes, you know, other people make choices, and it could be that your parents had made a conscious choice not to have children and did the best they could, but they had one, and they...
Right.
so many things, but you were given those options. Most kids your age would not have had not just intelligence, but just the intuition to seek out someone and to have that desire. But you had such a compassionate nature, even at that age, that and the thing is, you not only helped her, but it helped you because it helped you to realize that there's nothing wrong with me. I haven't done anything wrong.
Right, and there's nothing wrong with you, Diane, either. It's their choice. And
exactly.
I it wasn't a choice for me. It was something that I just did. I didn't even think about it. And I noticed kids just did not bother with her. And she talked funny, you know, because they can't really hear. And so they watch your mouth. But she could hear me. She could hear a little bit, so she could hear how I was mouthing the words. And it wasn't like I'm talking now. I mean, it was very accentuated. But I made a great effort to do that for her. And I didn't even think about it. I didn't think, well, you guys don't want me across the street. I'm going to go. I didn't think of it that way. I just automatically saw her outside on her porch, and I went over there. No other kids would go there. They were afraid of her because she talked funny. They were afraid. I wasn't afraid. I just did it instinctively, you know, and she always would wave to me, and I just didn't even think about it. Okay, go over there and do what you're saying, but, you know, I'm going to go talk to Diane, because Diane needed a friend. She needed me, and I hope, I just thought of her tonight. I hope I helped her. Because like I said, she was already probably, she might have been 13. I was only like 7 or 8. She was quite a bit older than me. And it was quite a thing for her because she wasn't included. She was okay in her school that she went to. But when she got home and there were a lot of kids in the neighborhood, she was like in her own little bubble. but she let me in. And it was really great. We'd play marbles. We didn't play dolls. We just did marbles, and we'd talk. And she tried, you know, she helped me with some sign language. I mean, she just really opened her arms to me like, wow, there's somebody here that really cares about me. And I didn't miss a beat. I didn't even think about it. I just, that's what I did. But I did a lot of things like that, and I think about it now that we bring up the subject when I was little that I didn't even realize. I had this understanding of people very young, and I could see what was going on, and, you know, and but I didn't let it bother me. It was like I was removed from it. It wasn't going to touch me. It wasn't going to affect me, and it never did. But, you know, I talk to God every day, and I just said, you know, if you just give me a lot, I'll give it all away because I know what I could do with it. And so I think, you know, I was set on this path, like you said, in the womb, Maya, you said that last week, which is a great compliment, that I was somehow blessed, somehow in the womb before I was born, that I was going to be doing this. And even as a little girl, and I didn't even know it. I didn't even know then what it really was. Had I met you, I would have known. You would have said, well, I know what's wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. But I didn't. I just didn't let it affect me emotionally like it really should have, because then I would have turned into a monster. I would have went over there and smashed all their dolls and pulled their hair and had a tantrum. But I never did, not once. And I didn't even tell them that it bothered me what you two are doing. Why don't you come and get me? I'm good enough. The day before or 2 days before, why didn't you come? I didn't even utter a word. I just let it go. I really did.
Yes.
And I grew up okay, you know, but I had a lot of help along the way, a lot of help, because I could have been a monster. And I'm quite the opposite. So, yeah, so it's but you're bringing back a lot of things from when I was a little girl, and I'm remembering things now that other kids did and had, and how I was able to make the adjustment and not let it bother me. You know, usually kids will cry and come home and so-and-so won't play with me or whatever. Like I told you, the only repercussion I ever did was I took off after that little boy who hit me in the head with a rock. That was the only, and I didn't really hurt him. He fell off his bike, and I said, I'm going to hit you in the face. Oh, and he begged, don't. I mean, I was ready to pound his face in, but I didn't hurt him. And I said, I'm going to tell you one thing. You'll never do that to me again. And I said, and all your little boyfriends out there, all the other little boys, are not going to touch me either. And nobody did. Not one person. Of course, I had Big Diane with me. I just thought of that. You know, she was big. She was a lot bigger than me. And I had the respect of the neighborhood. And I didn't really do anything. Except I took off after him and scared him. But I had to do something. I had to show him, you're not going to do this. This is wrong. And I was only 7 or 8 years old and I was doing that. I didn't know.
Right.
I just, so, yeah. So, yeah.
And,
but
you think that's what people that right now are already, you know, I can feel the joy too, of course. I don't feel all negative, but I can feel the rising of both the joy, but I can feel the other side, the people that are dreading, that are already, you know, not sleeping well, they're having trauma put upon them because they know they're going to have to face things, whatever trauma it was, and, you know, we're all different. What to me may not have been traumatic, maybe would have been to you and vice versa. What someone else might have thought, well, why did that bother you? To me was the most traumatic experience, you know, something that I will never forget. I mean, I've learned to
right.
go past it. And so,
right.
you know, if you, those people that are listening tonight, and those that weren't able to listen to the whole show, I hope that they go back and listen, you know, listen to Natalie's words because they're coming from her heart and realize that, there is that line, but like what, you know, what the message that she's giving, and I'm seconding that motion, is that, you know, we can ignore some things and we can turn the other cheek. And I believe that as spiritual beings, we should attempt that first. But when we're to the point where, like you use the example of, you know, having a rock thrown at you, when you get to the point where you're 2 weeks, you know, before something is coming and your stomach is just churning and you're upset, so that, I mean, think of all the other people, and aside even from all the people that it might be hurting because you feel forced to do this thing, think of yourself. And just at some point we do have to draw that line and we have to say, okay, this is enough. I'm not going to put myself at this spiritual and emotional risk anymore. I will deal with the consequences, because in so many times, so many cases, actually standing up, you might be surprised at how actually liberating that is, and how that can sometimes stop a lot of what continues to go on because we are allowing it. And we may be doing it thinking we're doing it for the right reasons, or, you know, well, I should forgive. Well, forgiving is one thing. Allowing is something different. So,
exactly.
You know, I'm a big believer in forgiveness. I'm not a believer in accepting continued behavior or putting myself in situations with people that have not shown me that they are at least willing to acknowledge, you know, for some people and some families, I think it would just be if their families, their mother, their father, their grandparents, their guardians, their aunts, uncles, whomever, or just to acknowledge, look, I know that this, you know, when such and such happened, or I know that some of your years growing up, I made a lot of mistakes, and I would do it differently. For some of us, that would change everything. But if you're not getting that, you know, we do have to, a time is going to come where we should not ever feel so devastated by the thought of being forced, because really we're never forced. It is a choice. I understand the pressure, though. I do, because I was under that, and, you know, maybe you felt that way too, although, I mean, to you it was just like whatever, like you said, it wasn't
Yeah,
like
it didn't
it
bother me
really
at all.
Even.
It didn't bother me one bit. I was like, not numb, but I was like encased in something that nothing could really bother me, and that's the truth. I never thought of it that way, but that's the way it was when I was a little girl. We know the story of me wanting this wooden doll, and my mother brought me a rubber doll. And, I mean, I could have just thrown it back at her and said, I don't want this, and stamped my feet, but I didn't do that. I just brought it back in with me, you know, inside, and something just took that away. I didn't even experience that kind of stuff at all. And it went that way throughout high school with me. I was always picking up stuff for people, you know, that they couldn't type. I loved machines. That's why I'm so good with the computers. And I loved doing all that. I would do all their typing, the big, huge folders we get. I'd do all of their stuff for them on a manual typewriter, of course, because that's what we had. And I was always doing that. Use my locker. I mean, that was like, and I didn't feel myself as being used either. It was just my nature. It's just what I did. So, and it carried me through to be a young woman and go on, and that's why STARS is such a higher step above all the other sites. It really is, because, you know, if somebody gets a membership, I tell them, I send them an email, welcome to the STARS family. You are now a part of our family, because that's what I always wanted it to be, is that we look out for each other. You can go on Facebook. If somebody were to ever say anything about me or you, Maya, or anybody, you can bet all the STARS would gang up on them. Yeah. And I know quite a few of them. You don't do that. That's not good. You don't slam anybody. I mean, I'm appalled at that stuff. But that's why I guess that's why I turned out the way I am. I guess. I don't know. But I don't mind being me. I'm really happy with myself. I really am. I'm a really good woman. I really am. So,
I mean,
and you are too, Maya.
If you think about it, you know, what I feel about some of it too, although primarily that, you know, you were chosen for this light path, you know, as a light worker. But also,
mm-hmm.
if you think about it to a point, I have to say that it's so strong within me from my guides that there was some malicious intent from your mom, and there was some resentment because the,
mm-hmm.
some of the things that she did were not just negligent.
She didn't talk to me on my wedding day either. Did I ever tell you that? I got married. I thought everything was fine. She didn't talk to me the rest of the day. My own mother.
So there was
it continued on. I mean, she could have really damaged me, but it was not allowed. She was not allowed to damage me. I stood out.
I was protected.
I was
but
protected.
Maybe like with the doll, maybe by you reacting that way, in some ways it was poetic justice for her, because I can't help but get the strongest feeling that she was almost anticipating. I mean, I know, and I don't want to be offensive about your mom, but this is just what my guides are sharing, is that there was part of her that was trying to make you bleed, and you just were not going to bleed, Natalie. And
I went and I took it, and Tommy across the street, a mother of Linda, she helped me get some dresses, and I don't think I played with it that much. I was mostly over there because her mother, Linda's mother, could sew. They were beautiful dolls. They were just like, they were like the Monster High dolls or the Ever After dolls, which I have. And if Candy were in the room, she'd be laughing because I have them. And that's why I like them, because they have beautiful little faces and they're kind of made out of a little bit of wood. It's a plastic, but it's real solid. It reminds me of the dolls I never had. And my son laughs. He says, oh, good, I'll say I'm going shopping for my mother and I have to buy her a doll. I said, but you have to explain what kind of doll. It's not a doll that's all frou-frou and all of that. I mean, these little dolls have beautiful faces, and they're just beautiful. But, yeah, I think you're right. Like on my wedding day, now what mother would do that to her daughter?
Well, I mean, it would be one thing, like you said, if the doll you wanted was some extravagant and your parents just wanted to so badly, but then a parent would say, oh, honey, I wanted to get you the foo-foo doll or the monster doll or the cherry face doll. We couldn't afford it, and I promised you if I ever get the money, but I got you this one. But that was not the way that gift was given. It was given as, well, I know what you wanted, but I didn't get it for you.
That's right.
I got you this.
And she showed her temperament on my wedding day. She fulfilled it again. But you know what? I talked to my dad, and he said, just go. We went out west. He said, just go. Have a good time. Call me when you get there. She'll be fine. And I was upset about it, but then I let it go. I did not let it bother me.
No, what do you
it was
mean,
not going to do that.
I mean, we're almost
I got married, and then we had a reception that they paid for, but then my husband had, that's an Italian family, had so many people to invite, and my parents could not afford to have them at this hall. So my mother-in-law and father-in-law had this big, huge party at their house because they had a big, huge house. And with this huge yard and all of that, it was all decorated. My mother would not go.
She didn't go?
And at my reception at the hall, she hardly talked to me. It was like she was so resentful of me. Maybe it was attention. Maybe she didn't have that. She didn't have a wedding. I don't know, you know. And then my maid of honor, my cousin, she didn't talk to me either. She got mad because I didn't let her do things for me. Well, I've never been married before in this big wedding. Well, what do I know what goes on, right? She got mad and didn't talk to me for 4 years. 4 years she did not talk to me. But you know what? It didn't bother me either. I just went right along like there was a shield. You can try, but you're not going to get through. And I was protected, Maya, you're right. Because had that, if I
you know, responded to all of that, I would have probably been a monster.
Well, you would have been, I can tell you, you would have been an addict. You would have either been an alcoholic, because you would not have been able to deal
to
with
understand.
All that. And you would have had to drown it out, so you would have ended up.
Right,
you would
and the divine and all above decided this is not what's going to happen to her. We are not going to let this happen to her. And it didn't.
And we're out of time. I'm glad you got to finish that. And we'll have
topic. I actually extended the half hour because I figured we were going to go over. And we did have Star Phoenix. I think she left. Star Phoenix was in the room. Our Star Priestess Candy was in the room. And we had a guest. Thank you, guest, for coming. I don't know what her name is, but thank you for coming. And next week we'll have another great topic. It'll be back on Monday from 8 to 9 p.m. And as usual, Maya, it's always wonderful. You enlighten me. You explain my childhood to me and what happened and what didn't happen. And I'm just glad I am the way I am. I would never go back and change it. I would never, no. Mm-mm. But you see, God, my God that I believe in, would never have allowed it to happen to me. God doesn't work that way. And I was just chosen to be protected and as we have talked, it has stayed that way. So, anyways, I love you very much, and we'll talk this week. And we'll see everybody next week. And please listen to the other part one, which is on starswithazpsychics.com. And listen to the first part and go to the blog of last week, because you're going to see the beautiful stuff that Maya wrote for me about me on Tuesday. And that date would have been, what would it have been, Maya? It was just... Let me look quickly so I can tell you. Was it 29th?
The 28th.
The 28th was Monday, but you wrote the blog on Tuesday, the 29th.
Oh,
go
that's
read it.
Right. You're right.
It's
that's
just
right.
the most
that's
beautiful right. thing, and this is
and
what
I'll
she does. This
tomorrow,
is what
so read tomorrow's blog, because I'll
yes,
I'll
read the blog. Yes.
Then.
Okay, I'm gonna end our beautiful show here, and thank you, guests, again for coming. Please come next week. Because we'd love to have you, and we have a lot of listeners that don't come into the chat room, but I know they listen because I can tell who the listeners are. So thank you very much for all of that. And with that, I'm going to say good night, and everybody have a great evening. We'll see you next Monday night. Bye-bye.